tell me a story. A story that will be my story as well as the story of everyone and everything about me. The story that brings us together in a valley community. A story that brings together the human community with every living being in the valley. A story that brings us together under the arc of the great blue sky in the day and the starry heavens at night. A story that will drench us with rain and dry us in the wind. A story told by humans to one another that will also be the story of the wood thrush, that the wood thrush sings in the thicket. The story that the river recites in its downward journey. The story that Storm King Mountain images forth in the fullness of its grandeur.
Tilly, a 14-year-old girl, use your imagination, is reflecting on the story told her by her science teacher at school. He told me to look at my hand, for a part of it came from a star that exploded too long ago to imagine. This part of me was formed from a tongue of fire that screamed through the heavens until there was our sun. And this part of me, this tiny part of me, was on the sun when it itself exploded and whirled into a great storm until the planets came to be. And this small part of me was then a whisper of the earth. When there was life, perhaps this part of me got lost in a fern that was crushed and covered until it was coal. And then it was a diamond. Millions of years later, it must have been a diamond as beautiful as the star from which it had first come. Or perhaps this part of me got lost in a terrible beast, or became part of a huge bird that flew above primeval swamps. And he said that this thing was so small. This part of me was so small, it couldn't be seen. But it was there from the beginning of the world. And he called this bit of me an atom. And when he wrote the word, I fell in love with it. Atom. Atom. What a beautiful word. And the beginning of the story as told by John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through it, and without it was not anything made that has been made. Tonight we're going to do a collection of readings, poetry, and songs. Some of the authors represented are Thomas Berry, Paul Zindel, Rabindranath Tagore, Robinson Jeffers, Jared Manley Hopkins, Dennis Potter, Chief Seattle, and songs written especially for Holden Village's summer theme by Ray McKeever and Nancy Ruaka Borges. There will also be original works by members of the Holden staff. First, I'd like to call on Linda Burgess, who will tell us a few words about our theme banner, representing the theme On Earth as in Heaven.
Hi. Let me just say I'm an artist because I don't like to speak. I usually put things down on paper for people. This banner was something that I created, and the various versions of the logo that you see around the village Basically, it was an ongoing process, and so you'll see this logo in different forms. Every time there was a deadline, I just kind of took wherever I was at and gave it to somebody to use. And I feel that this banner is the culmination of my efforts. I'm pleased with it, and I feel that it's complete. So that's been an ongoing process. Even since I have finished it, though, I've continued to see new things in it. So I'll talk a little bit about that. Okay, on earth as in heaven. Well, that's a little less vague than past year's themes, at least. It's kind of nice as an artist to have a word to cling on to, something concrete that you can actually draw onto paper. So I was grateful for the word earth. I chose a circular image, both because it can portray the circular earth, which is very literal, but also because a circle can symbolize harmony and the wholeness for which we strive, which in that sense would be the heaven part of the theme. There are two contrasting concepts that I wanted to portray. One is brokenness and one is connectedness. Therefore, I left the circle broken in these places and didn't have it complete to show that we're broken, we're unconnected from each other, both in our families at home, from peoples around the world, and also from the earth itself. But I also wanted to show that we're connected, so I used one solid line on the other pieces of paper that you see the logo and where it's printed in black and white. It's easier to see this. On the banner, you have to look at the dark blue, but I used one solid line here to imply, by the way, some people don't really think this is a line, but I think it's a line. And I used the one line to show that we are connected and that our actions up here affect people or the earth down here, that we are all connected and that we're responsible to each other. So as I was drawing this, I had a lot of fun as I refined it and got the shapes the way I wanted it. It was fun to think about having an action up here affect something down in here, and adding a lump up there would cause me to need to balance it out down here. And I think that's just goes along with how we're connected around the world. I think we need to keep that in mind. But then since I did this design and I sit in Vespers every night and look at it, even though this was the brokenness, then I began to wonder if this couldn't be thought of as openness. And I began to wonder, where does this line come from and where does it go to? And I wondered if maybe this negative space in here and the way it runs between and alongside these lines couldn't be thought of as an openness to eternity or to heaven, and therefore this design could show heaven in our midst and running alongside the lines of our lives. And I've had some fun thinking about it that way, which is a little bit opposite of how I originally designed it. Another contrast to consider is the fact that there are geometric shapes at the top and softer flowing curving shapes at the bottom. This just happened, but some people have seen the top as symbolizing the earth and seeing a moon shape perhaps here, or a sun and the mountains, with this being, what did I say? Okay, some people see this as heaven because of the moon or the sun up here, and then this all down here is the earth. And others see this is the earth because it's angular, and this as heaven because of the flowing, curving shapes. So different people have read different things into it, and I like that. I like to have different people have different ideas about it. I was pleased on the other printed forms of the design, the words "on heaven" just landed at the top, and "on earth" landed at the top, and "as in heaven" landed at the bottom, which I think helps shake up some of our traditional images of where heaven is, you know, up and earth down. So that was just another little fun thing that happened. The colors that I chose here, I simply chose because they're beautiful and I think they're harmonious together, but I haven't spent much time thinking about what they might symbolize. I'll probably work on that next. And I'll just close by asking, what do you see in the logo?
Coming up, we have there's a series of three meditational readings, and this first one I wrote last year for a guided imagery session that we did in Winter Sojourn, and I'd ask that on this first one anyway, that as we move into this, that you close your eyes, consider it meditational. You and I, cosmic beings ever since that first burst of creative energy. Sister, brother, you and I and all are one. From ancient stardust the same, atomic wilderness primeval, originating in that great ancient moment of explosive truth, the idea, the birth, the eye of God opened, the words spoken, the light igniting, the sound thundering with universal matter flying in every direction, the soul of God gone wild, become ablaze in winds of fire, God's own breath kindling life, and love unfolds, our wilderness nature begun, as Mother Earth, as Father Spirit, grow the miracle that becomes us, we, the keepers of the key, the knowers of the truth, the sustainers of the breath.
Water is love, and love is eternal, and both flow from these. Water tumbles over the smooth rocks of the stream bed, laughing, gurgling, rushing, moving. It knows not its future, cannot return to its past. Water does not flow uphill. The water knows its now, only knows the present, reflects the mountains, the sky, makes them move with its motion. Let me be like the water and laugh and move and cause the immobile to dance. For this motion is the now. Things move only now. There is no flowing uphill. There is no knowing downstream. Only the movement, only the dancing sky, only the laughing God, only the reflecting water.
The same stream of life that runs through my veins night and day runs through the world and dances in rhythmic measures. It is the same life that shoots in joy through the dust of the earth in numberless blades of grass and breaks into tumultuous waves of leaves and flowers. It is the same life that is rocked in the ocean cradle of birth and of death, in ebb and in flow. I feel my limbs are made glorious by the touch of this world of life, and my pride is from the life throb of ages dancing in my blood this moment.
You can open your eyes now. I'll have to apologize for the people who've heard this song 10, 12, 13, 14 times, but if you've heard it that many times, you know it, so you can sing along. The song is The Garbage Song.
You get up in the morning and you shave your face, so your legs with the ridge made of plastic. And you're done and you're late to start your day, so you throw it in the wastebasket. You get into your car for to go to work, where you write with a pen all day. And the ink dries up, it won't write anymore, so you just throw it away. And the Tuesday morning garbage man will come and take it away. And I won't worry about all the stuff that I threw away today. The baby's crying dirty pants again, but aren't these pampers great? No muss, no fuss, no cloth to wash, and best of all, you can just throw them away. And the Tuesday morning garbage man will come and take it away. Now we'll worry about all the stuff that I threw away today. Then I chained at the store something new, nothing drastic. All my brown paper bags have turned into plastic. But that's okay, cause you know what I say, you can always just throw them away. Who's got time to cook anymore? That's what I bought a microwave. I can buy myself a meal in a neat plastic tray, and best of all, when I'm done, I can just throw it away. And the Tuesday morning garbage man will come and take it away. And I won't worry about all the stuff that I threw away today. But the day's gonna come when you can't ignore all the trash that goes out your door, when the man in the truck won't come anymore. And the Tuesday morning garbage can won't get taken away. Now you gotta worry about all the stuff that you threw away today and yesterday.
Fortunately, I'm short. Now, staff member Kirk brings us a comment on the summer theme.
On Earth as in Heaven, what exactly is this summer theme? Of course, when a sentence is totally void of punctuation, it's difficult to tell. Is it supposed to be on Earth as in Heaven, or on Earth as in Heaven, or on Earth as in Heaven, or on Earth as in Heaven? Or is it supposed to be on Earth as in Heaven? We don't really know. But why do we feel that we don't need to use punctuation? This is supposed to be funny, so anytime you want to laugh, you could. Is this an indication that there's no punctuation in Heaven? I don't think so. How would we know unless we asked? And how could we ask without a question mark? No, I don't think that this represents anything about Heaven or Earth or even English for that matter. Instead, it's just sloppy. Now, I'd like to speak a little bit about the theme art. Now, the artist here in the theme vespers says that the logo is composed of only one line. Now, we all know from when we were little children that a line is the shortest point, the shortest distance between point A and B. Yes. So, what when we were being taught grammar, punctuation that is, we were told that that a line is the shortest distance between two points. But what is this? This isn't a line. It looks like a bunch of yarn that's unraveled on the floor. And so why do we call it a line? We were taught in the beginning that a line is from there to here, from here to there, A to B. Line up, line up, line up. We're always told that. Mr. Canopolo, my sixth grade teacher, always told us to line up. Heavens, if we lined up like that, I'd still be in detention. Now, in Britain, they don't call lines lines. They call them queues, which is a mystery to me why they simply wouldn't call it a line, since it looks like a line when it is, in fact, a line. Now, think about it for a line. Think about it for a moment. A line looks nothing like a queue. It's A to B, B to A. This is a queue, queue, queue. They aren't even close to each other. In fact, it's more like a circle than it is a line, which is basically a circle is a never-ending line, which we here at Holden call buffets. So anyway... So a queue really isn't a line, and neither is that art a line. Maybe it's more like a queue. I don't know. But back to the theme. Now tell me, no one in their right mind would say on earth as in heaven, would they? You want to say on earth as it is in heaven. Now what happened to the it is? Well, I like to think that this is a major problem. First of all, it is are the words that point to God in the theme. It is very close to the words, the Hebrew words, I am. Except for two words being different in those two phrases, they're exactly the same. And the I am means God. Are you still with me? So by leaving out the it is, we've left out God, which is basically leaving God out of the theme. This cannot be leaving God out of the theme. The other point is leaving it is out is terrible syntax, but that fits in with the lack of punctuation to give us a theme of poor grammar and confusion. Why can't we speak in complete sentences? We're constantly trying to shorten things. The village center becomes the VC. Garbology becomes garbo. Why do we need to make everything short? Isn't Jackie Brolsma enough? Today a helicopter flew over the village, and so I walked over to a staff person who's been here several years, figuring that this person would know what was going on. Of course, being here for three years, the person had been through 3 years of themes and 3 years of poor syntax and 3 years of incomplete sentences. So I went and I looked up at the helicopter and I said, "Well, what's that? What's this helicopter flying around for?" And the staff member said to me, "Big white bird, fly, fire shoot out of tail, fly round, round." I said, "Isn't this enough proof that we're damaging people's minds with this poor syntax? Let's get the it is back in the theme and put God back in the theme, and let's add some punctuation so we know what we're saying. God and clarity at the center of our lives, on earth as it is in heaven."
Could you repeat that, Kirk? Getting serious now, I don't know if I can follow that, but I won't try. One of my favorite poets is Robinson Jeffers, and this is probably him at his most reassuring. It's called Bixby's Landing. They burned lime on the hill and dropped it down here in an iron car. On a long cable, here the ships warped in and took their loads from the engine. The water is deep to the cliff. The car hangs halfway over the gape of the gorge, stationed like a north star above the peaks of the redwoods, iron perch for the little red hawks when they cease from hovering. When they've struck prey, the spider's fling of a cable rust glued to the pulleys. The laborers are gone, but what a good multitude is here in return. The rich lichened rock, the rose-tipped stone crop, the constant ocean's voices, the cloud-lighted space. The kilns are cold on the hill, but here in the rust of the broken boiler, quick lizards lighten, and a rattlesnake flows down the cracked masonry, over the crumpled fire brick, in the rotting timbers and roofless platforms, all the free companies of windy grasses have root and make seed. Wild buckwheat blooms in the fat, weather-slacked lime from the bursted barrels. Two duckhawks darting in the sky of their cliff-hung nest are the voice of the headland. Wine-hearted solitude, our mother the wilderness, men's failures are often as beautiful as men's triumphs. but your returnings are even more precious than your first presence.
From Randy's favorite poet to mine, and this will also be illustrated with a few pictures, which they say are worth a thousand words. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor foot can feel being shod. And for all of this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh, morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and bright wings.